Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Greg is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
When you need to know what's happening, it's time to get in the huddle with Carl Dukes and Brian Baldinger.
In the huddle, Carl Dukes, put him up, along with my man Brian Baldinger, Jason Locked On 4. Guys, we bring it to you every Tuesday and Thursday as we release new episodes. We're going to bring in our good buddy joining us from BetQL, the BetQL Network. And if you've not been there, if you've not checked it out, guys, you've got to go check it out. You better, you bet. Nick Costas joining us here on the show to get things started. And I'm pretty excited about everything that's going on. And we got to start, Baldy and Nick, with the game tonight. Bills Patriots, right? Thursday night football. And you're looking at the Bills and you're going, okay, the record's good, but they haven't done crap in this division. When you look at their division record, this is a big game for the Bills. Nick, they're favored, I think, by 4. What are you thinking about this game tonight?
Well, first off, great to be on with you guys. Hope you guys had an awesome Thanksgiving. I think Baldy and I are going to be on opposite sides of this game. I like Buffalo. Just on the point spread of the game. So you're right. 3.5 is the number right now. Buffalo, a 3.5-point favorite. And just to give people a little context, this opened Buffalo a 5.5-point favorite. So we have seen New England get steadily bet over the course of the week. Now, we're not talking like a tremendous line move here. Like I always tell like people who are new to betting to think about key numbers as anchors, right? 3 and 7 are the two key numbers, right? When you think about how the math of the NFL works with field goals and touchdowns, with the advent of the extra point being moved back, 6 becomes a key number as well with missed extra points. So anywhere in between like 5.5 and 3.5, it's not exactly the same bet, but we haven't touched on any key numbers here. So we're in a range that I basically agree with. I make my own point spreads in the NFL. I think Buffalo should be closer to 6 than to 3. So this is going to be a game, guys, where I'm not going to bet like a number edge that I have here. And I do that with some games and we can talk about those. I'm going to bet my opinion in the Thursday night football game. My opinion is the Bills are going to smash them. So last Thursday night against the Minnesota Vikings, Mac Jones obviously looked terrific in that game. Maybe the best game of his pro career. He was great. I'm a bigger Mac Jones fan than most. Also, this Bills defense is not the Minnesota Vikings defense. It's a lot better than Minnesota's defense. Even without Von Miller, Tre'Davious White is back. Ed Oliver has been an absolute beast. Rousseau is back. Poyer's healthy. The Bills defense is healthy now. And look at what Minnesota's offense did to this New England defense last week. And I understand that the Bills might not have Deion Dawkins. Also, the Vikings didn't have Christian Darrisaw. I think this is going to be a game where Allen, Diggs, and Davis bomb this Patriots defense here. So I'm betting my opinion here, which can always be a little bit questionable, right? Because that opinion could be worth whatever. My opinion could be the same as anybody else's. I think the Bills win. I think the Bills cover. I like Buffalo on Thursday night football.
Baldy, let me ask you real quick about the Patriots defense. Because every time I've counted them out, their defense has shown up. And that's the one thing I'm hesitant about. Nick, I totally agree about the number with you, but I'm like, every time this season I've gone, and then New England's defense shows up. And all of a sudden, you know, they're getting to the quarterback and they're getting turnovers. What do you think, Baldy?
Well, they've got a real candidate, Matt Judon, for Defensive Player of the Year. He was that candidate through about 12 weeks last year, and then he kind of fell off. He does so much for this team, and not just sacking quarterbacks. He's just a very good football player. I kind of like the way the secondary is going. This Jack Jones is a really good young player, Jonathan Jones. Like, they've got some players that can match up. You know, I'm not saying that they can, you know, shut down Stephon Diggs, but they can match up. They know how to bracket guys. They had problems with Justin Jefferson on Thursday, you know, on Thanksgiving. But the Patriots, to really to Nick's point here, they have to play a particular style of football. Like, they have to possess it. They have to run it. They've got to keep Josh Allen off the field. They've got to get a turnover and maybe two. Like, when they can do those things, They can be in every game. But because they're just not an explosive team, they just can't get big chunk plays. It's just not part of their offense the way Buffalo can, the way Kansas City can. And that's why they're a good team, and they can be a very good team if they play their style. But that's all they can do. And if they have to play catch up, if they have to play a different style, they're not very good at it. I like Nick's take on this thing. I think Buffalo's a better team right now. Matt Milano makes a big difference in that lineup. And Josh Allen, look, Deion Dawkins is in there. It's a loss, but Josh Allen just has the ability to kind of overcome that.
Can I hit you just quickly with like two things there? Just on Baldy, what you're saying on the lack of explosiveness for New England, you're 100% right. I was kind of hoping to see this from New England last week. Not really, because I bet the Vikings, but like I kind of want to see this from the Patriots. At some point, Tyquan Thornton has got to play a bigger role in this offense. Like, he's got the vertical speed, the second round pick. I feel like at some point they're going to have to start featuring him. Maybe it's tonight. I'm also curious to see Khalil Shakir, the Bills rookie wide receiver. I know McKenzie was great on Thanksgiving against Detroit. Shakir is playing a lot more in the Buffalo offense here. This is like a prop conversation right now and just trying to get ahead of stuff in the betting market. I'm looking at Thornton tonight to see if he can start to pop, and the same for Khalil Shakir for the Buffalo Bills, just as an aside on those two rookie receivers in the game.
Nick Costas with us, guys, host of You Better, You Bet. Of course, Baldy, it's In the Huddle, and we're hanging out with you guys. Let's talk about the Commanders and the Giants, Nick, because who do you give the edge to here? Listen, I the Commanders, for some reason, have gotten my attention, okay? And
yeah, because they lose. Yeah, because they win every game.
But I don't know if it's an illusion or not, or if they are the team that I've seen over the last 4 weeks or so with Heinicke at quarterback. What do you think about this game?
Yeah, probably somewhere in the middle. Like, Heinicke will keep your team in the game. And Baldy, is this your line? Someone said this on You Better You Bet this week. This might have been your line. Someone said it. He keeps your team and his team in the game simultaneously. So I want to give credit if that was you that said it. I don't know who
it was. I didn't say it. I know the line, but I didn't say that one.
It's a great line. The point spread is fine. Like, again, I want people to think about things like this. Washington's a 2.5-point favorite. Like, should Washington be favored in the game? Probably. But should they ever be a 3-point favorite? No. And in the betting market, if that ever hit 3, there would be resistance immediately. It's a game with a low total, so like points are valuable, right? In a game where we're not expected to see a lot of points scored. So Washington, a 2.5-point road favorite. I don't think they should be that much of a favorite, maybe like a 1-point favorite. And points do matter when you have a low total game. It's going to land one or two more often than like Kansas City and Cincinnati will, right? A game with a super high total here. So if I had to bet the game, I would only bet the Giants from like a betting angle here. I also think you get Washington or the Giants rather in a major like break for them from what they had last week against Dallas, where I think the Cowboys are like potentially sleeping juggernaut here over the rest of the year, maybe the best team in the NFC. And like, let's get used to, by the way, the Cowboys are going to Tampa on wild card weekend with the way that things are going to break right now. And we're going to get the Cowboys at Tom Brady, probably the 4 or 5 matchup on wild card weekend, most likely here. So this is not the Cowboys that the Giants are playing here. And I think the market's kind of saying that the Giants are as bad as they looked against Dallas, and Washington's not nearly as good as Dallas. So if I had to bet the game, I would bet the Giants. One other angle here, and just to explain this to your audience very quickly for people that don't know, one of the tools in a bettor's toolbox is a 6-point teaser, right? And a lot of people will use the teaser incorrectly. A teaser is when you move the line 6 points in a direction. If you are ever going to tease, you should look to capture 3 and 7. What does that mean? The Giants are 2.5-point home underdogs. If you tease the Giants up, you tease them up to +8.5. That means if the Giants lose by 3, you win your teaser leg. It means if the Giants lose by 7, you win your teaser leg. So you capture the two big, it's a math problem basically, right? And also you can apply your football analysis to it as well. I think the Giants are a magnificent teaser leg in a game with a low total coming up on Sunday against the Commanders.
And that's why we talked to Nick Costas. That's why, right there. He's
like
giving you
playoff predictions already.
He's giving you information.
That's not a prediction. Like, that's a spoiler. Like, Dallas is going to be the five.
You're saying that Dallas is playing Tampa round one. I mean, that's a prediction, Nick.
No, that's a spoiler. Dallas is not going to win the NFC East. Most likely, probably not going to win the division. Philly, easy schedule coming down the stretch. Tampa's likely to win the NFC South and have the worst record of any of the 4 division winners in the NFC. Tampa would be the 4. Dallas would be the 5. I think that is like a massive favorite to be the 4 or 5 matchup on wild card weekend in Tampa. And Dallas would be a 3-point road favorite.
That is a prediction. Coming from Nostradamus, I know predictions when I hear them.
You know, Carl, like, you watch that Falcon game. I mean, look, Cordarrelle Patterson is wide open in the end zone.
Yes, he is.
And Mariota is throwing the ball for the game winner, and Deron Payne gets his paw up in the air and bats it, you know, and it's intercepted. They had a hard time last week, Washington did, stopping both Mariota and the backs. They couldn't. And so that's what Daniel Jones can present. He can present the same issue that the Washington had. But Washington's got a toughness about him. They're starting to play like Ron Rivera wants them to play. I've talked to him about it. There's a physical component to this team at all areas. The safeties, the linebackers, Jamin Davis looks like a number one pick. The defensive line is great, really good. And so I'm going to go with the defense of Washington here to win this game. And probably exactly the way Nick described, it's probably a field goal game. The Giants, when they do win, it's usually by a low total. It's whatever the under is, Nick. I mean, I would take the under in this game. And that's where I'm at with this. But the Giants certainly could spoil this thing here. But it's going to be really separate because everybody has, you know, four teams from the East in the playoffs right now. This game could help to separate that right now to make it just three teams.
You Better You Bet host Nick Costas with us here on In the Huddle. Put him up, Carl Dukes, Brian Baldinger. You like Jacksonville, Nick, this week? Why?
I think Trevor Lawrence had his awakening last week against the Ravens. And I said this, you know, with Jacksonville coming off its bye, I just thought it made sense. And like, I feel like silly sometimes saying stuff like this with like Baldy, who like play and is like, you know, I was forgotten more about football than I know. This is just my sense of someone who's been watching football die hard every single week, literally since 1990 for over 30 years. My thought is we've seen this before. Trevor Lawrence, year two. By week, Doug Peterson as his coach. And this was kind of reflected in a lot of the post-game quotes, like from the Jaguars in the locker room talking about the impact Peterson's made, not just on Lawrence, but the team. Like, Trevor Lawrence was too good at Clemson to look the way that he looked last year with Urban Meyer and then parts of the first half of this season prior to the bye week. And then he comes out in the fourth quarter, and like, we've seen this before when like the flip switches for the young quarterback and they are just slinging it and you're just like, oh my God, like they're going to win this game. It is inevitable. Now, I'm not saying the Jaguars are going to win the division or win every game down the stretch here, just that I think that the Jaguars are becoming something different now with Trevor Lawrence being what Trevor Lawrence is, and I don't think the betting market is accounting for it. So Detroit opens a one-point favorite. I think the Jaguars should be favorites in the game. They are now, not because I think it, just because I think people agree with me here. I think if it's close at the end, the Jaguars are going to find a way to win the game because they have Trevor Lawrence and the Lions have Jared Goff. No disrespect to Goff. He ain't Trevor Lawrence. I'll take the Jaguars to win in Motown.
Baldy, the Lions have been in every game because of their offense, right? And even on the Thanksgiving Day game, we talked about it last week. Jason, you and I, when we were talking about, we're going to get a good noon game. I mean, usually that noon game sucks. And we got a really good, entertaining noon game, and the Bills had to find a way to get it done. I'm kind of leaning the other way here. It's only 1 point, right? It's 1 point, Nick?
Yep. Basically, like, pick the winner of the game is essentially what it is.
It's a pick 'em, right?
Look, Carl, like, I mean, look, Trevor was awesome in the fourth quarter. 18 points, 2-point conversion, game winner, game-winning drive, fourth down conversions. Like, he threw the ball the way I think everybody saw him throw it at Cartersville High School in Georgia there, the way he threw it at Clemson. Like, he threw the ball the way you got to win in this league. But I like Detroit. I love the way Detroit competes. They could have easily won that game on Thanksgiving. Their young players are significant. You know, whether it's Penei Sewell or whether it's Amon-Ra St. Brown, whether it's Malcolm Rodriguez, Aiden Hutchinson, Okuda, like, your young players are stepping up. And they're going to get their guards back that didn't play on Thanksgiving, which was a big deal. And I got it. I just think Jared Goff is playing really good football, like really consistent football. And so I like the Lions. I like the way that they compete. I think they bounce back in this game. They've had 10 days to get ready for this. They believe in the coach. It's not the greatest coaching job, timeouts and clock management.
He's brutal.
But there's questions there. He's a little too emotional probably to make those decisions. But I like Detroit to bounce back in this game.
Can we get DeAndre Swift involved a little bit more in the run game here? This is killing me with the Jamal Williams.
Well, can he stay healthy, Nick?
He's practiced in full for like 2 months straight. He hasn't missed a practice. They don't give him the ball. It's insane. He's the best running back.
Jamal Williams is going to get the ball in short yards and goal line situations because he's a baller. So then you got to work. Then can he practice? Can he stay healthy? We see what he can do on the perimeter and in space.
The game.
And then, by the way, this Ben Johnson in Detroit is going to be a head coach. He's going to be Mike McDaniel. This offense coordinator there.
It's good.
He's really – he's It's the subtle creative things that he does is noticeable.
Yeah, that's a great point, Baldy. Game is in Detroit, by the way. Nick, let's talk about Dolphins 49ers. Some people are saying, okay, you know, could this be a preview down the road? Speaking of predictions, what do you think about this? 49ers, 3.5-point favorite. We're talking betting with our guy Nick Costas from You Better, You Bet here on In the Huddle. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, Super Bowl rematch. What is that? That Super Bowl, what? Super Bowl 19 with the
Montana,
Niners?
Montana Marina.
Yeah, that's right.
Were you born in 1984?
I was born in 1983, but I can tell you, Baldy, right. Student of NFL history, I can tell you who won every Super Bowl, the final score, the MVP of every game.
I'm not disputing the knowledge, brother.
38-16 final score there with the Niners and the Miami Dolphins in that Super Bowl. So the Niners are a 4-point favorite in this game. Sometimes I'll come on, like my show, You Better, You Bet, or like we do more of these, and I will tell you guys that both myself and my co-host on the show, Ken Barkley, who like could be a professional bettor if he wanted to, does a show with me, and I'm thankful for that. Guests we have on during the week who literally move the betting market. Like when they make a bet, the line will literally move because of it. These are people with influence, not like your next door neighbor who's betting $50 on the game. No disrespect to that guy, but I'm being honest, right? People that actually like move the betting market.
Yeah.
Sometimes we will all agree. And everyone's like, this is the bet to make on the game. And more often than not, I feel like we'll probably win, but we lose because like it's called gambling, not sure thing, right? On this game, there is like legitimate, like a split here. Some people like the Dolphins. Some people like the San Francisco 49ers. So I bet Dolphins +3.5 on Sunday night. My thought was the point spread of the game should be 3. And I want to capture 3.5 ahead of a key number, right? Apparently people disagree because the number has been bet up to 4. And right now I have the worst of the number right now. I can tell you that my thought on this game, I do think that the two teams are fairly even. The Niners are better. They should be favored. I'm not going to make the case the Dolphins should be favored. But I don't think San Francisco should be more than a 3-point favorite in this game. We look at what happened on Sunday. The Niners shut out the Saints, and that's going to get all like the headlines. Oh, look how great this defense played. Listen, I bet the Saints, so like I was watching that game. New Orleans could have easily won the football game. Like San Francisco got, yes, like the defense had some stops on like fourth and like 10 straight fourth and goals was very aggravating. New Orleans could have easily not just kept that game closer, but won that football game. Eli Mitchell's down now. McCaffrey doesn't practice on Wednesday. I know that Shanahan shuttled these running backs in and out. You know who you'd rather have than Tyrion Davis Price and Jordan Mason? Christian McCaffrey. Also, I know Mike McDaniel's the Shanahan understudy. I'll say this. Kyle Shanahan's a great coach and a great play caller. Also, he's ridiculously conservative in the big spots, and bettors hate that about him. When it gets down, he's going to kick the field goal. He's going to punt in the big spot. He's like afraid in the big moments, and that's my opinion. I'm not trying to say that everyone on the show feels that way. That's my thought. You know who's not scared? Mike McDaniel. Who do I trust more in a big spot to make the right call, to win a game, to cover a spread, to cash a ticket? Mike McDaniel and the Miami Dolphins.
What?
Yeah, not even close.
What?
Not even close. Not even when it comes down to it, when you bet on a team to win a game, would you rather have Kyle Shanahan, who's going to send out Robbie Gould in the punt unit, or Mike McDaniel, who's going to go for it? It's not even close. It's not even close. So for me, it's the Dolphins at any number above 3.
Yeah, but that conservative style, Nick, has had Jimmy Garoppolo win 40 games. 40 games.
I'm not saying he's a bad coach. I'm saying
it wins a lot of games, Nick. All right. Sure. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be more aggressive in spots. I've seen Mike McDaniel at midfield week one against New England on 4th and 7, go for it.
Yeah.
Like Bill Belichick would never do that. But McDaniel won that game that week one because of it. I don't know where you're going, Nick, with New Orleans could have easily won the game. I saw Hufanga blow up. Okay. Well, Alvin Kamara could go up. That's what happens. Like, that's what happens to money backs when they get smacked. Like that's
what the end zone.
But what you betters don't know is what smacking does to players. Alvin Kamara gives the ball up at the goal line. I saw Eli Mitchell go 33 yards straight up the middle for a touchdown. And they called George, you know, Kittle for a holding call. Questionable call. Like you say they could have easily won the game.
They could have.
Say you could have given New Orleans 100 tries. They weren't going to score a freaking point. Maybe. Because that's what the 49ers defense does. They have the best group of linebackers in the league. It's not close.
Yeah.
The speed, the way that they hit, the way that they blow things up. And we haven't even said Nick Bosa's name. Because I don't know if Teron Armstead's going to go. Like, it's his left shoulder. Like, I think he's going to go. And he can play with injuries. He's always
50-50 probably, right, at this point in the week when we record this.
He's going to try to go, Nick, okay? He'll strap it up. But Nick Bosa has only one goal in life. He doesn't care how many books he reads. He He doesn't care who the president is. Like, he just wants
the
quarterbacks.
The second part.
He just wants to literally take Tua down. That's it. That's all he cares about. And Mike McDaniel knows that. So how he, you know, how he postures this and protects this is going to be a big part of the game. But I'm not going against the 49ers in this game.
I can't either.
Like, betting-wise here, Miami, San Francisco wins by 3, I win my bet.
I
lose if San Francisco wins by 4.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why I like the bet. I think San Francisco should be favored, just not by more than 3.
Good stuff. Nick, Jets-Vikings. Quarterback change with the Jets. It made a difference last week, but the Bears didn't have Justin Fields, and he shouldn't play the rest of the season, which Baldy and I will probably talk about here in just a little bit. But are you buying the Jets? Because the Vikings are a 3-point favorite in this game.
I know that I can be pretty bombastic and I'm pretty energetic just like in general in life, but I promise that I am not prone to hot takes. I promise you that that is the case. You guys will learn that about me. I say it when we start every You Better You Bet. You get no hot take BS on the show, just bets and sports. Like, I like to talk sports. I like to keep it real. So this is going to sound like a hot take and sounds like something that I do all the time. I do not do this all the time. This is my opinion coming up on this game. And like, I will always acknowledge, and some people are like, well, he's hedging his opinion here. This is like Confucius like says, like, true knowledge knows from knowing what you don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in the game. People that tell you they know what's going to happen like are scammers, right? I'm not going to tell you that this is what's going to happen in the game. But this is my opinion, and I feel pretty strong about it. I think the Jets are going to blast them on Sunday. I love the Jets in this game here. Minnesota's defense, the underlying metrics are not good. I am not suggesting the Vikings are a bad team. I am just suggesting they are not as good as their record indicates. The betting market says that. When they're less than a 3-point favorite at home against New England, and now they're laying only 3 at home against the Jets, people will look at this and say, oh my God, their record is so good. How could this be? They were also a home underdog against Dallas. It got destroyed 40-3. Now, that's confirmation bias, right? Well, Dallas killed them, so they're not good. Or they're just not good, like, period, right? This defense isn't great. I'm not saying Mike White is Joe Namath. I'm not saying he's Boomer Esiason. They also don't need him to be. They need competence at the quarterback position with the weapons they've got on offense. And by the way, this might be, and Baldy, curious your opinion here, is this the second best defense in football? If you think San Francisco's is the best, it's a top 5 defense, right? The best unit in this game is the Jets defense. That number one in this one here. So if Mike White just doesn't turn the football over and spreads the ball out and lets Garrett Wilson run past bad Vikings cornerbacks here and the Jets defense does its thing, I think the Jets are going to win this game by 10. It's a hot take. I understand. I am not prone to that. I'm going to bet the Jets in this game plus 3 and on the money line. I think the Jets go into Minnesota, Baldy. I think they win the game.
Well, I did that game last week in New York and I saw Mike White play and he made quick, accurate decisions all day. To your point, Carl, I mean, the Bears were way down. I mean,
it's a bad defense.
Two starters from the, I mean,
yes.
So I get that, but he still made all the throws and he gets the ball out of his hands fast. He did the same thing against Cincinnati, his first start last year when he threw for 400. And he looks like to be a gamer. He brought the team down the field last week at the end of the first half in the final minute to get a field goal. He took the team down the field against the Bengals last year in the final minute to win the game. He's got that thing to him. And they do have really good weapons. I think Minnesota is just further along. I just think they have better stars right now. And the game is in the hands of the stars. Like, I understand that the Jets' defensive line can affect Kirk Cousins, and maybe he'll throw him to. And if he does, the Jets are going to win the game. But I also know that Justin Jefferson is just a difference maker. Like, their stars, Dalvin, Justin, like, they're just more stars. If Breece Hall was in here and like all that for the Jets, okay. I just think Minnesota is just further along with the way that they have built this team and the way that it's being coached. So I think the Jets are a fantastic story because Mike White's going to start. He's going to be the starter the rest of the year as long as he stays healthy. Like, this Zach Wilson thing is over for this year. But so Mike White's the quarterback, and that's a good thing. I just think that this is a tough spot for the Jets this week. They go to Buffalo next week. This is a real stretch where we're going to find out, can they stay in the playoff hunt or aren't they going to stay?